Well, as we close out the week here on Abounding Grace, we do so with a final interview by Pastor Chris Gordon here in studio to highlight this new video podcasting that we've recently introduced into our website, agradio.org. We'd invite you to stop by, pay us a visit, and take advantage of some of the recently introduced content, including the video podcasting. Today, we have an interview with the president of Westminster Seminary, Joel Kim, as we take a look at the pastor shortage that's out there, what is available at Westminster, and what the ministry of Westminster Seminary in Escondido is all about. Here's Pastor Chris to get things started with our guest on today's program.
Maybe start by just telling us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. We're so grateful for Escondido URC and your support. I came down to Westminster Seminary, California as a student from 1994 through 97. And then we came back down in 2005 to start teaching in the New Testament department. And then in 2016, our third Bob Godfrey, decided to retire. And after a search, I was asked to step into that role. Big shoes for me to fill. But 2017 is when I began, finishing up my 18th year of service on campus, 6 years as president.
Wow. Yeah. Wonderful.
It's been a blessing.
Well, we've appreciated your service there. And it's exciting to see what's happening there. I have some questions I'd like to go through just to kind of think through and help people have a picture of the what's going on at Westminster. But so you've been in this position now 6 years, you said.
Mm-hmm.
What have you enjoyed about the position? What has been the highlight of the position?
You know, there are many that I think I could think of, but as someone who was trained to be a pastor, my dad's a pastor, my grandfather's a pastor. So the training is pastoral ministry. And when I came on campus to teach, you always wonder whether these are two corresponding things, pastoral ministry and teaching. Enjoyed both of them very, very much. But one thing I learned coming into this office was how pastoral this role is. It's amazing parallel here. You're dealing with people. You're talking to them. You're encouraging them. You're working alongside them for the goal of training men and women up for the local church.
Right.
And to that end, you're engaged with donors. You're engaged with board members, faculty, and staff. And your role is to both encourage and also work alongside them. In many ways, there are parallels here.
Right.
And so the pastoral element of the work that I do, especially given the fact that the seminary trains up pastors, has been, a wonderful surprise for me.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And you know, I was a grad 04, and I think of the long history. What is it, 82 the seminary started?
Well, 1980 in particular.
80.
So we just finished our 43rd year.
43rd year. Mm-hmm. And how many students have gone out all over the world?
If you can believe this.
It's remarkable.
You're going to be proud of me. 1,268. Now you think,
really?
How do you even know this? We just counted. And that's the funniest thing. We just counted the number. 1,268 students.
Wow.
Not just domestically in terms of the U.S. and all the states in terms of serving well as local church pastors, Christian school teachers, sometimes in different professions, but using their education to a wonderful end, but globally, just many countries represented in terms of where they end up, both as missionaries and international students who came, who went back to serve the church well.
Right.
All these things are blessings.
I remember when I was in SIM, there was a man named, I think you guys did a little article on him in the magazine, Fred. Fred, is it Fred Kabinga? Anyway, Fred was a student when I was there. And I remember he came from Africa and he was such a blessing to all of us. Because here was a guy who left his family to come do this training and go back to his family and minister in really difficult soil.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what an encouragement he was.
San Diego and Southern California in particular, I know lots of people have opinions about Southern California, but it's a gateway location.
Yeah.
You know, you drive 20 miles, you fall right into the ocean. But as you do so, you look at the east, far east in particular. And then when you drive 40 miles south, you hit Latin America, as Mexico in particular.
Right.
And so we have a location where the world is coming to us.
Right.
And our seminary has been very fortunate in attracting many students from abroad. Many of them who come are the best of the best in their own countries.
Yeah.
And who are coming here, learning theology in a different language altogether, but yet at the same time with this desire to go back and to educate and grow the church in which they serve. So even this year, I think we had 7 or 8 students who graduated this year from our class. Our commencement was last Saturday. What a wonderful time for us for celebration. Yeah. But they are going back to their countries, many of them, to be able to serve the students well. During COVID, we had a difficult time getting visas for students to actually join us.
Right.
But things are opening up again. So
right. Good.
I think this fall, we're anticipating anywhere from 5 to 6 students to join us from
Wonderful.
Various countries to be here to study with us.
Wonderful. Yeah. I mean, I remember thinking recently, I thought, you know, this at least from when I was there, the faculty's aging a bit. And you just had the retirement of you know, a great Dr. Steve Baugh, who is such a blessing to us. What a great example, right? Of how to exegete the scriptures. He taught us how to do that. That's kind of a big loss. You know,
you know, it's when I came into this office 6 years ago, our board chairman, Ron Prinz, said that there are 4 immediate priorities we have to hit pretty hard. One was accreditation. We were up for accreditation. We were renewed for 10 years, which is the max. And we're grateful for that. But we also had this apartment complex we were building. We needed to finish it. We needed to pay down the debt and also to welcome the students on campus.
Yeah. Yeah, why didn't you have that complex when I was there?
I mean, me too. I mean, yeah, this is
we
probably
had to pay a lot of money.
This is probably the best place our students will live in for the next 10, 15 years after they're done.
It's
so maybe
true.
It's too nice, but it's a wonderful blessing because we rent them out at about half the cost. And so it makes the education here much more affordable. But one of the things that was
right.
a priority for us was that we knew that our faculty was aging in some ways.
Right.
And so we knew they're going to retire.
Yeah.
5 or 6 years as we went through hiring process, multiple in terms of different departments because of aging out in many ways, we've hired some wonderful folks. I would like to think all of them are home runs for us.
Yeah.
We look forward
I would
to
agree.
Having them here many years, right?
It's been remarkable how the Lord has provided.
I mean, I could talk about each and individual one for a long time, but to give you one example, Craig Troxell is one of our new practical theology professors. He comes to us after.
I love Craig.
Isn't he a great guy?
Great. Yeah.
25 years of pastoral ministry after he finished his PhD in systematic theology.
Mm-hmm.
So he's academically not only credentialed, but a wonderful scholar,
mm-hmm.
but yet 25 years of senior ministry under his belt. And not only that, he's a senior statesman in his denomination in the OPC.
Right.
He loves the church and the denomination in which he serves. And then he brings that excitement of the local church into the classroom
right.
with incredible experience and precision.
Yeah, so pastoral.
Right. And our students have benefited greatly from that. It's like that. The Lord provides.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very grateful for that.
And Dr. Brad Bittner has been, what an encouragement.
You know him well because
I do.
His family attends EURC, though he's a PCA minister. But here he is, a PCA minister who serves at a Spanish-speaking church as an associate because he not only knows the language, loves that particular church to be a place where the gospel can be preached faithfully in Spanish for Jesus to be lifted up on high. Here is a father of 7 who is
a track coach
and involved in his kid's life, but incredibly confessional in his mindset as a New Testament scholar.
Mm-hmm.
Who balances very fine biblical theological scholarship with his confessional commitments and marrying those two things together, which is not as always easy as people think.
That's
it is.
Right. That's
and then
right.
when you add to it, here he's a local church pastor with years of experience coming in, being able to share both the experience and knowledge to the students. He's been a huge, huge blessing for our
community. I agree.
For sure.
I agree.
Can I add one more thing just
sure.
as a bragging?
Yeah, we want to know all the updates going on over there.
To be honest.
Even though you send out a magazine called Update.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Now I've got it right from the horse's mouth. Right?
I mean, to be honest, I mean, it's nice to have buildings. It's nice to have many nice things that the students can enjoy. But at the end of the day, Westminster Seminary, California is what it is because of the people.
Right.
And this is why talking about both our graduates like yourself, as well as the community in which we find our students, as well as our faculty and staff. It's
right.
a great joy. And so Brad Bittner and I were in Cambodia earlier this year. So we have a small project called the Global Church Initiative that we've begun, where we want to be able to bless the global church and be blessed by them. So this year, we sent our first seminary short-term missions team to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
To follow along with local church pastors and missionaries there. Team of 8, they had a wonderful time. Meanwhile, Brad and I were in Cambodia, which is in Southeast Asia, where the country is open to the gospel, and we have graduates there who are serving. In fact, there's a seminary there called Westminster Theological College and Seminary, mm-hmm. founded by yeah. one of our graduates.
Sure.
Brad and I are there, and Brad's teaching these Khmer pastors and then Southeast Asian students on 1 Corinthians. Yeah. You know, so here's a guy who's coming in from a Western country and then meeting these folks for the first time, teaching on what the church is and how to build up the church from 1 Corinthians. You should have seen the students. And
yeah.
He loved it so much.
And, yeah.
And so here, his perspective is not just about the local churches mm-hmm. and the importance of scripture center ministry here, but being able to share that more globally in these places. We're just blessed by his teaching as well as his engagement
right.
in the churches.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, those are, yeah. It's anything else on the, you know, you got the building project, almost any other professors?
We have new faculty hires continuing. I think we might be reaching a plateau here, meaning I think we have the faculty we want for
sure.
the next few years. I don't know how to give thanks beyond just to say we thank the Lord for his provision of men who are coming on campus, who finding professors at seminaries, I don't know what people think. pastors don't drop from trees. And so what happens is if you have a good Christian, they belong to a good church. Good churches have good pastors. Good pastors don't grow on trees. They have to be taught and formed and shaped.
Right. Absolutely.
Faculty also has this kind of finding a right faculty here. Mm-hmm. Not only do you have to be credentialed in terms of your discipline, you have to belong to a Reformed church.
Right.
And you have to be a faithful churchman. And then you have to go down even further. You have to be willing to come to California in the first place in terms of living here and settling here. And then you have to go further and saying it's the particular discipline that we're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, this is a very narrow pool that we get to go down to. But I'm happy to share with everyone that we have Jason Picker joining us. He's an American who went to New Zealand to finish his training. He pastored there along with teaching there. But now he's going to be joining us as a systematician. And he and his wife, Sarah, and their three kids will be joining us sometime in the next month or so.
Wonderful.
To start teaching this fall. And we're so excited to have him join us. He's a former RUF campus pastor, so he's got ample pastoral ministry experience, which is something we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're training future pastors, we want people with pastoral experience.
Right, it's really important.
And I think I can also share now that we're going to be bringing another New Testament scholar. His name is David Briones. He's written a number of books mm-hmm. in the area of first century history, as well as even his initial book was called Paul's Financial Policy. Exciting, exciting title, but an in-depth look at Paul's ministry in particular.
Sure.
And we're glad that he'll be joining us.
That's
he's
exciting.
Got commentaries lined
exciting.
Up that he's going to be writing. So these are two new folks, academically incredibly gifted and wonderful teachers, while at the same time pastors.
Right.
And so our students, I think, will be delighted to hear that they'll be joining us to teach for us as well.
Coming to California is not so bad. You know, I don't mind. I struggle a little bit when I was in Washington coming back, but then to think about it, I think somebody's got to go to Nineveh.
You know, California, I guess, so I was born and
kind
raised
of a well, God put a seminary in Nineveh. So
I was born and raised in South Korea. So I came here when I was 10, but we landed in California, Northern California in particular. And I've been here now a long time. And I realize people have different opinions, but I will say this. If a student and future pastor is wanting to be in a place where the people around them are unchurched, dechurched, and anti-church,
right.
which is where America's going pretty quickly.
Right.
This is the place to come and sharpen your
absolutely.
Tools and
absolutely.
Your mindset. And apart from that, you know, I'm not going to lie, the weather's pretty nice and you get to enjoy many things that the Lord provides here.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing about San Diego County in particular, surprisingly, and this may surprise those who are outside the state, we have amazing number of very healthy and vibrant Reformed churches. I mean, people who are not only belonging to confessionally Reformed denominations, but they're committed mm-hmm. to confessionally Reform church, proclamation of Jesus, standing on the orthodoxy that we have received and then we cherish. And so our students are incubated, like Escondido URC, mm-hmm. in that church, watching and learning from many. And we're so grateful for many churches who love on our students and then hire them
sure.
afterwards as well. And if you can add to it that these churches are places where our students intern. And I think it's a wonderful place to be learning the theology that we do in seminary and then practice those things, because seminaries exist for churches, not the other way around.
Yeah. So there's many challenges today in doing what you're doing. And we in the church are very aware of that. Where do you see the future of, you know, training ministers? Where do you see this going with seminaries? Where do you see this now? Do you think the churches are finding a challenge to find pastors today? Is this something you're seeing in the trajectory, that there may be young men who, you know, consider it, but just, you know, there's other more lucrative opportunities out there? I think William Perkins complained about this in his day, that they paid pastors so poorly, they all went to be doctors and lawyers, you know?
So, we could have repeated that today, my guess is. Yeah, no, that's true.
But what are the challenges today? And where do you see seminary training going in the near future?
Can I separate that to multiple questions and see if I can tackle the first part first, which is, what are some challenges that seminaries are facing initially? And I think there are many. We can go on for hours, but there are a few in particular I want to mention to your audience. One has to do with declining number of young people, period. And so there is a demographic change. And part of the reason why higher ed in general is struggling is because there aren't as many young people coming up to receive education, not just high school, but also college, and then therefore seminaries as well. So that's a unique challenge that the U.S. is facing coming up in the near future. Now, another challenge that the seminaries face involve a weakening or stagnation of denomination of church and churches. Mm-hmm. You know, churches aren't growing. And in that sense, the number therefore decreases in terms of churches and denominations.
That's a good
point.
For
the potential students where you can pull from. And that's certainly an issue. And when you add to it, not just in numbers, churches are becoming less convicted about educated pastors. Mm. You know, we see this trend among seminaries.
And that's a sad trend.
It is a sad trend, because I think we, coming from a confessionally reformed background, we believe in learned clergy.
Yeah.
And the changing environment around the world does not demand less educated clergy. I personally think we need to have clergy who are more educated. So you have seminaries changing with the changes in need, because the MDiv, Master of Divinity, was always the degree that denominations and churches required for the pastors to come into their churches. Now, MA is the popular degree. So this is the first year that ATS announced that we have more Master of Arts students than Master of Divinity students among its seminaries, 270 or so. And because churches are looking for a quick way of bringing pastors, number of units that seminaries now require, we require 110 for a three-year program. 25, 30 years ago, you had most seminaries requiring minimally 90 units. Now, great majority of the seminary, I think the number is like 80% plus, require less than 90 units. Mm. So here we have less educated, more quickly produced pastors. And then when you add to the online component, and I recognize the online is an important component for various reasons. I'm not trying to knock its importance. Yeah. We're online after all. But the importance here for pastoral training is spiritual formation cannot be done apart from community.
Yeah.
And I think the learning community is an important thing for us. And then when you add the last factor here, among many, students come in to seminaries, I think, and with a change environment, the conviction and call is weak. And so what that means is they come into seminary wanting to find themselves, if I can use the language often.
Yeah.
When I was a student, and perhaps this was true for you as well, you came to seminary because you felt called, internal conviction and the Spirit's movement, as well as those around them who are saying the Lord's gifted you in this direction. But now people are coming into seminary to find themselves in some way. And I do think those are some challenges
that's a challenge.
Seminaries are working on.
And that's a challenge that has to be worked on closely with the churches.
Oh, I think so.
Right. Because, I mean, we do write letters of recommendation that we attest that they have godly character. And, you know, we obviously recognize, and this is a challenge too, that you could have a guy who we believe, you know, we've confirmed an external.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we endorse and support him to the seminary, and then he goes through 4 years and there's no call. And that's really hard. Mm-hmm. So you recognize we also are sort of dependent, we always are, on God's providence to confirm these things.
Yep.
And And that presents challenges for seminaries too, especially for students who may get frustrated afterward because they didn't receive a call.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting homework for us as seminary and as students who are going out in terms of local churches. It's a partnership. And I think there are a lot more topics that churches and seminaries need to discuss together.
I do too.
An area that we need to learn. To give you one example, previous to coming to seminary, I hope that more and more elders and pastors would identify among their congregation young men who should go into ministry.
We're supposed to do that.
It's almost an insult for parents when we might come up and say, you should go into ministry because we recognize that the road can be rough. It's not the most lucrative position one can go into, as we were talking about before. But I think we need to figure out a way to be able to say to kids, not just, hey, you should be a doctor, you should be a lawyer, you should be a teacher. But I think right on that list, many of us should be able to say to students who are gifted in this particular area to say, you know, have you thought about the Lord perhaps leading you in this direction in pastoral ministry? I think that's important.
Right.
The second thing during seminary years is I think we are intentionally thinking through what it means for our students to be interning at local churches. Like we were, you know, as we discussed, it's important for them to learn in the classroom, but it gets practiced in the context of the local church. Thinking through how we as seminary and you as church leader and churches, thinking through how do we shape and form these folks for future ministry preparation, I think is going to be an ongoing homework for us, that things we want to think about.
Yeah.
And for those who are graduates, if I can say it this way, two things. One is I hope the churches would consider the possibility of like a year-long internship or even assistant positions if they don't have it. Right. I know it's an investment. I realize that every church has financial circumstances as well, but we're in the business of training up leaders.
Right.
And the investment of the local church in allowing them to practice these things is an important one post-learning, because many of us, I don't know how you felt, but I don't think I understood what I learned until 2 or 3 years after I graduated.
That's absolutely true.
And so
that is
to have a place where you can continue to dialogue and have this thought, I think is important.
Yeah.
One last element here for our brothers who are thinking about pastoral ministry are having a difficult time receiving a call. Part of this is the Lord's pruning. We recognize that. Mm-hmm. I don't take that lightly.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not an easy place for anyone to be in. But if I can just encourage them, apart from depending and praying to the Lord for opening and clarity here, I think more and more American educated students should think about how the Lord might be leading them to cross-cultural ministry abroad.
Mm.
You know, there was a fervor for missions at one point.
That's
the Americans really have sent so many. But the pulpits that are open are not just domestic. They're international and the needs are great.
Right.
And you might recognize that the world is becoming much more global in terms of connectedness, and the need for solid, Christ-centered, confessional teaching and preaching and leadership is evident all over the world.
Yeah.
And if they would be willing to consider and say, maybe the Lord is leading us to serve the church that's beyond the national boundaries we have, I think the possibilities therefore expand even more so. And so as an encouragement, you know, I realize that for the last two decades or so, church planning, city center ministries are things that lots of people talked about. I'm in the PCA.
Right.
That's what a lot of people engage in. But I do wonder if the pendulum swing should go in such a way that institutions like ours, as well as churches, should be thinking about sending men abroad to minister well and women abroad to teach. I think those are important needs that we have in the global church.
Pastor Chris Gordon in studio with our guest here today on Abounding Grace, as we are taking a break from the book of John to bring to you a brand new element on our website, agradio.org, our video podcasting. Recently, we've included this into a brand new redesigned website, so if it's been a while since you've paid us a visit online, well, stop by. Take a look at all the new elements that we've included into our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. If you would like to reach out to us by phone, we would encourage you to do so at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Whether it's a question, comment, prayer request, maybe you'd like to partner with us financially, prayerfully, well, this is how we reach everybody on this station on a daily basis. So get a hold of us today. Let us know how you'd like to participate with us and partner with us as we continue this ministry on this station that you're listening to. 888-504-8805. Or write to us, Abounding Grace, Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Thanks again for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.